the destination of this coach is Hazard, Kentucky. We do there at 5:15. For your convenience, there's a restroom located in the rear of the coach.
You gonna get sick? Huh? Oh my God! He's coming at you!
All right. When it comes to 2-year-old Olivia James, you are not the father.
You've irritated the tool gods. You must now be smeared with the holy grease of disdain.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. It's JG's Radio Free Insanity with your host, James Gutman. Yo, Gutman, what's the ish?
What's up, guys? That's right. My name is James Gutman. You are tuned in to JG's Radio Free Insanity. Today it's Friday. It is May the 12th. It's 2006. You're tuned in, WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. Glad to have you guys listening. You picked a hell of a show this week because our guest is going to be the Buff Daddy himself. That's right, Buff Bagwell is going to be here in part two. I'm serious. Buff Bagwell. You know what he's going to talk about? He's going to talk about his mom being a former tag champion at WCW. He's going to be talking about why the internet hates him, or at least, you know, as we kind of put it, gets heat from the internet and the things that are said about him, and tons of things to talk to Buff Bagwell about. Anybody who's been following this industry for a while knows that a guy like Buff Bagwell is definitely going to be an interesting guest, and he does not disappoint. So definitely stick around in part two. We'll talk a little bit about Buff. We'll talk a little bit about World Wrestling Insanity, the book, which should be available in bookstores within the next 2 weeks. So excited about that too, guys. A hell of a lot going on. But everybody this week, they want to talk about Booker T and Batista. So let's talk a little bit about the situation that we had this week with Booker T and Dave Batista getting into a bit of a scuffle at a SummerSlam commercial shoot. Shoot. There's a word right there. A lot of people asking, is it shoot? Is it a work? And it's the kind of thing in this industry where we're kind of conditioned to believe, you know, it's black and white. You know, things are either shoots or they're works. Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, is that a shoot or a work? You know, was Pillman a shoot or a work? In this case, I don't know, I think it's a bit of both, and I'll tell you why I think it's a bit of both before you jump all over me about it. I think the fight was a shoot, okay? Dave Batista has diarrhea of the mouth. Dave Batista talks and talks and says lots and lots of things. I know he likes to pretend he doesn't. You know, I didn't say what Booker T thought I said. Well, we read what you said in interviews, Dave. He said that SmackDown was depressing to be a part of. He said that, you know, it's the minor leagues. He says that walking into the locker room just has no energy. I mean, these are all the things that he said when he jumped over to SmackDown about how he was a savior, he was going to carry the brand. Lots and lots of things he had to say about SmackDown. So it makes sense that a guy like Booker T, who is big on respect and has been in this business for a very long time, you know, I mean, he's wrestled in Texas as part of the Ebony Experience. When you're wrestling at the Sportatorium in a tag team called the Ebony Experience, you have got to be a badass. You know what I mean? I mean, that's not the kind of gimmick that you play with. So Booker T is really, I mean, he's put his time into the industry. He's kept his mouth shut. He was one of the guys in chains in WCW. And if you never heard that story, when WCW brought in the Harlem Heat, originally, at the behest, I guess, of Sid Vicious, they were managed by Colonel Rob Parker, and they were convict slaves upon their debut. They came out, they had their hands chained or something, they were wearing prison uniforms. That was not shown on TV, but it did happen, and Booker went with it, because Booker's a company guy, and that's the kind of person he is. Booker's the type of person, he believes in the industry almost more at times than he believes, you know, in his own character, which is cool, and we need more people like that. So that was cool. So you got Booker T, who's really big on the company, really big on the industry, really big on caring about where you work, and then you have Batista, who's, you know, shitting out of his mouth, and you put them both out there for a SummerSlam commercial shoot, and you're surprised when there's a fight. Well, I wasn't too surprised when I first heard about it, just because I've talked to people who have taken issue with Dave Batista, a lot of people who said, you know, this guy needs to get hit, you know, didn't say he needs to get hit, but it's been a long time coming. He's needed to have somebody put him in his place, so to speak, just because of a lot of things that comes out of his mouth. And WWE.com immediately put the story up on their website as far as reporting on it. That's why everyone thought it was a work. Everyone said it's got to be fake. It seems fake. It seems fake to me, too. I mean, you know, Booker, Batista, same brand, face, heel, WWE.com has it up within minutes. And everybody says, you know, it's got to be a work. Turns out it's not. It's a shoot. It was a real fight. WWE.com apparently put it up because they wanted to scoop all the other websites, which is the most ridiculous freaking thing you could ever say. And why is that? Because WWE.com is not a news website. We're not a news website. I mean, you have to know what you do, and you have to embrace what you do. WWE.com's job, all right, is to go out there and provide backstories on wrestlers that they have access to and no one else does. That's WWE.com's thing. They're a company website designed to promote their company. They're not there to give you news, okay? You want to know about the changes to the main event at the Strikeforce pay-per-view? You don't go to WWE.com. You know what I mean? WWE.com is there if you want to know, you know, what kind of sneakers John Cena likes to buy, or, you know, what kind of pizza Big Show eats before he, you know, eats fried chicken or something. You know, things like that. Those are the things you find on WWE.com, and that's the strengths that the site has. With us, I mean, we don't do news. We do commentary. That's always been our thing. We have commentary. We have TV show reviews. We try to make it a fun place to be. That's what WorldWrestlingInsanity.com is. But I'm not going to try to scoop everybody else because I don't do that. You know, WWE.com kind of gets caught up in that. To me, I liken it to a company like, I don't know, so some sort of music thing, okay? You get like a band that goes out there and they create news about themselves. You know, they meet with an artist. They have an artist come to their house to jam with them, and they put it on their website. And they go, "We scooped Rolling Stone." It's like, well, you didn't scoop Rolling Stone. You created your own news, and then you put it on your site. WWE set up a photo shoot. Two of their wrestlers got into a fight. They popped it up on their website, and they think it's a victory. It's not a victory. I mean, it's your site. It's your company. You should be the first ones to know about the damn fight. The reason why you didn't report it beforehand in the olden days of the website is because you knew what your website was meant for. Your website was meant to be a company site like Coca-Cola.com or NBC.com. It's supposed to promote your company, not scoop other sites. It's just a totally different thing. But that's neither here nor there. I think one of the main reasons that was put on the site was because I think a lot of this was kind of hoped for. I think WWE has been hoping for something to come along with Dave Batista that would kind of spark some sort of interest in his return. I mean, because no one really gives a damn about Batista's return. He did a spot at SummerSlam WrestleMania where he showed up and he got in Orton's face and they had a stare down or whatnot. But I mean, it's kind of fizzled out. Dave Batista, he's there, he's great, wonderful, terrific. And no one really cares all that much. So now they do. Now they do. And is it any coincidence that the people who put the two of them together in the same place for that photo shoot are reporting on it immediately on their website? Not really. Kind of weird. In this particular instance of the wrestling business, it seems like a shoot that was engineered. So let's call it a manufactured shoot. Let's call it taking two guys, one who has extreme love and respect for the industry, and another guy who has extreme love and respect for himself. You put them in the same place, you watch the sparks fly, and then you jump and you report all about it online. Yeah, I mean, that's just what it seems like to me. It's one of those wag the dog situations where it's not about real or fake, it's about manufactured. And why was it manufactured? Why was it put together? Because you know what? At the end of the day, guys, we can deny it forever. And there can be reports coming out ever. Everyone's saying, no, this is totally real. There's nothing fake about it at all. All right, fine. That's cool. Nothing fake about it at all. But we're all talking about Dave Batista today. And we were talking about him last week. Didn't give a rat's ass about him last week. So, I don't know. Even if it was totally real, it had an end result that you would think that WWE would want. Even funnier with the situation, this is one thing that you have to look at too when you get into the shoot work thing. They weren't really disciplined, you know. What discipline did they get for having this fight at the SummerSlam commercial shoot? They got free publicity on WWE.com. It's been talked about ad nauseum on WWE.com. It's as if you got into a, you know, fist fight with somebody in the office and it made the company newsletter and it was a top discussion at that week's board meeting and you didn't get in trouble for it. You'd be like, well, what's dissuading me from fighting everybody in the damn thing? And I think that's what WWE wants. They want to breed kind of that Wild West environment amongst the boys, this recess type of mentality. In that, you know, you boys do your thing, we'll do our thing, we'll count our money, and you guys fight and defend honor and poop in duffel bags. And have fun with that. That's cool. You do that. Yeah, it doesn't really seem like there was any reason why, you know, Booker wouldn't fight everybody that walked by him. You know, he got free publicity. Batista got free publicity. So, yeah, I mean, you got to take everything with a grain of salt that comes around here. Anything you see on WWE.com, the Michael Cole version of WWE.com, you have to, you have to look at everything with a crooked eye around these parts. I mean, sometimes people, they're so focused on finding out whether something is a work or a shoot that they don't really look fully into the situation. I mean, that's what this is. This is the kind of thing where it's not about whether it's real or whether it's fake. It's about why it happened. It's about the aftermath of what happened. And it's about the end result. And really, you know, it happened because they were put in the same position. The aftermath of it was the fact that they got all this publicity, no real discipline. And, you know, the end result is that we're all talking about Batista and Booker T, when we really weren't talking about Batista and Booker T yesterday. So I guess you could say it accomplished its goal. Speaking of accomplishing your goals, TNA has a pay-per-view coming up on Sunday. It's TNA Sacrifice. And the main event, which is what I really want to talk about here, is going to be Jeff Jarrett teaming up with Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner. And they're going to be taking on the team of Sting and his partner. And everyone was wondering who his partner was, who it was going to be, Bagwell, Luger, all these other names that came out there. And ends up being Samoa Joe, as we learned on TNA Impact. That's one of the reasons why, originally, when there was a discussion of bringing in Bagwell and Luger, I wasn't as down on it as most people were. I think that Luger and Buff actually got a pretty good response when they came out for TNA. And TNA portrayed them in a way that made sense. I'll tell you what I mean by that. When TNA brought them out, they had every intention of elevating Samoa Joe at the end of the segment. So they brought out Bagwell, they brought out Luger, who are names, and they are going to add something to TNA. I know a lot of people say, it's just like WCW. TNA brings back these names, and they're just like WCW. And it's like, if you say that, you never watched WCW, because it's not like WCW. WCW sucked. You know, I mean, WCW wasn't just names. It wasn't Luger, it wasn't Jarrett, it wasn't Sting. It had nothing. I mean, yeah, obviously it's the people associated with it, but WCW failed on its own accord. You know, you can't just look at a name and just because somebody shows up in TNA and say, it's just like WCW. Are they using a lot of old WCW guys? Yeah, they are. Are these guys that, you know, happen to work there? Yeah, fine, but it's not WCW. And to call TNA WCW is kind of a slap. And one of the reasons why this angle actually wasn't WCW is the direct opposite is because for the first time ever, it seems like TNA gets the deal. They understand the joke. And that's why Buff and Lex and Rick Steiner were all brought in as probable teammates for Sting. And even better, TNA actually portrayed them all as viable names. You know, people were so used to these WCW names coming in or these old wrestlers coming in as they're perceived that when they brought out Bagwell, when they brought out Luger, when they brought out Rick Steiner, Sting didn't, you know, it wasn't a joke. It wasn't like, ha, ha, ha. No, it was like a viable, like, maybe this guy will be my partner. And in the end, they used it to elevate Samoa Joe to the main event. I mean, is there a place for guys like Bagwell, Luger, Rick Steiner? Yeah, sure. I mean, they're names, you know, and you're not going to throw away names on a wrestling program. I wouldn't bring them all in as main eventers immediately. If anything, you want to make them main eventers, wait a little while. You can't bring them in and shove them right there. And I think that was the case with this angle. They knew they wanted to elevate Samoa Joe. They knew what the stigma is that they've had as far as being WCW or whatever people say about them. And in the end, their goal was to elevate Samoa Joe. Talking about Samoa Joe real quick, Samoa Joe has done so much in this industry as far as knowing where to go with his career. You know, him and CM Punk, kind of in that same level, they both were in Ring of Honor, they both were doing their thing, and the time came to move on. One of them went to WWE, Punk, one of them went to TNA, Samoa Joe. And a lot of people question Joe, and they say, you know, oh, he went to TNA, it's the minor leagues, it's this, it's that, it's the exact reason why Matt Hardy didn't choose them. Samoa Joe actually came out better in all this. CM Punk is at the mercy of WWE. His hot indie career was kind of cut. He was brought into WWE. They put him in the developmental league forever. You know, I mean, he's been over there. He's been doing his thing. And he's kind of at the mercy of WWE. If they decide over the next few years they don't even want to use him, you just won't see CM Punk. You know, I mean, that'll just be it. He won't come on TV. Because WWE has so many people on the payroll that they could bring up at any time. It's kind of, you got to fight for your spot, really. CM Punk was hot on the indie scene, but he wasn't at the point where he was on national TV, where he had a name that he could already market. So he chose to go to WWE. WWE, I don't say buried because it sounds like they're doing it intentionally, but right now, I mean, he's really not there. He's not on television. He's not being used. Down the line, maybe if they feel like it, if they don't release him, who knows, maybe he'll get on TV. Samoa Joe, on the other hand, went to a company that wasn't as highly visible as WWE, knowing that he was going to walk in and be treated, as a star as long as he could perform in the ring, and he did. You know, he went out there, he did his thing, they gave him AJ, they gave him Chris Daniels, and now he's main eventing Sacrifice. Samoa Joe, in the long run, is raising his own star power. That if the day ever does come, that he does decide to go to WWE, they won't be able to bury him in a developmental league because he's already been main eventing pay-per-views. And that was the problem with Matt Hardy. That's what people said. Everyone said, well, WWE offered him more money. And it's kind of that tunnel vision that wrestlers and people who watch wrestling get where they say, Matt Hardy signed a big contract, so he's smart. Not really, because in the long run, in wrestling, all you have is your name. All you have is your gimmick. And if you allow yourself to be put in a position where your name and your gimmick is diminished, you lose money long term. And the thing with Hardy, to getting back to Matt Hardy and why I think that he should have chosen TNA, and it's kind of funny, had Matt Hardy gone to TNA, he probably would have left eventually to go to WWE and do the whole thing with Edge and Lita. But in between getting buried on SmackDown or whatever brand he's on now, yeah, SmackDown, and getting buried like he's doing now, he would have had that stint in between that would have generated a little more interest in his character being in TNA, kind of generated, long-term desire to see that match. Instead, he got fed to Edge, and now, if he were to ever leave WWE, his star power isn't where it once was. And I think that's a real issue that's shining here with the Samoa Joe elevation, the usage of CM Punk, and just how the way things go. Samoa Joe really isn't at the mercy of anybody. The company that he chose didn't have the capabilities to underuse him or not use him at all or keep him in a developmental league or whatnot. He knew that. So he knew he was going into that company. If they wanted to use him, they were going to use him. And if he could perform, he was going to succeed. As opposed to WWE, where you could be the greatest wrestler in the world. But unless you're a national name where you're going to be generating money from the second you start, they're not going to use you on TV until they're ready for it. Case in point, Paul London. I mean, Paul London was a darling of the internet and the indie scene. And Paul London is now just thankful to be getting beaten up in his big puffy blue shorts with Brian Kendrick. You know what I mean? So it's the kind of thing where in this business, money long-term sometimes means a lot more than money short-term. And I think Samoa Joe is doing a great job of etching his name in stone so that he can guarantee that he's going to have some money long-term, and he'll be TNA's big monster if they give him a chance to really shine. Speaking of monsters, you're probably wondering about monsters. Why did I bring up monsters? What's the point of monsters? Well, monsters know how to wrestle. You don't believe me? Oh, they do. Monsters know how to wrestle. They know how to do hammerlocks, arm bars, drop toe holds. As Gordon Soley would say, souplés. Monsters know a lot of things, and we learned that on Monday. And in fact, you voted for it, for your moment of insanity. Let's kick it, kids.
All right, JR. Time for your colon surgery, and everyone on that, I'm Dr. Heine. I want you to meet Nurse Lopperknockers.
Yeah, it wasn't my fault.
Fear is only a four-letter word.
Hide, right, hide, right. The world's largest love machine, Viscera.
As voted by you, the readers of WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, it's this week's Moment of Insanity.
Hey, what happens?
Right, this week's moment of insanity was Kane, the Big Red Machine, stepping in there with his enemy, the Big Show, and delivering a scientific wrestling match. Why? I don't know why. No one knows why. Guys, let me give you the backstory. The backstory involves this. Kane and Big Show are two of the big monsters of world wrestling entertainment. Monsters, man. To the point where they're just feared and craziness, blah, blah. They were teaming up. They were kicking everybody's ass. They lost the tag team titles, and they had an issue go down. The issue involves Kane's date. All right, not his prom date. I'm talking about the date of May 19th, which is a date that his movie is released, and also the date that the Da Vinci Code is released, which must piss him off, so maybe that's why he goes crazy, because his movie is so overshadowed by Tom Hanks. Actually, that's a good theory. I didn't even think about that. Anywho, Kane goes crazy, May 19th, and as soon as he hears May 19th, lights pop on, and his voice rings out over the loudspeaker, and it goes, May 19th, Kane, they're all going to know, you know, they're all going to laugh at you. It reminds me so much of that. Every time that happens, I just picture Kane as Sissy Spacek, just crying, covered in blood. So anyway, Sissy's crying over his movie release date, and Big Show comes out. He's like, what's up with you, man? What's the deal? And blah, blah, blah. And Kane freaks out and tries to pull his eye out of his head. Pretty violent, right? It's the kind of thing you would think of when you think of, you know, a violent kind of bloody feud, right? You know, someone's trying to pull the other guy's eye out. You don't get much more violent and bloody than that. So WWE puts together a match between Kane and the Big Show. So what are you expecting? Well, we're going into it. I'm kind of excited about this at the beginning of the night. And I'm thinking to myself, finally, we're going to get like a really crazy-ass match on Raw. The two of them went into the ring, Kane and the Show, and proceeded to trade hammerlocks and armbars and headlocks and drop toe holds and deliver a scientific match. Why? Well, as I said earlier, I have no idea. None. Zero. It made no sense. Jim Ross goes like this. He says, cut off my legs and call me Shorty. I didn't expect to see a scientific match here tonight. Ross then continued on. Jim Ross, returning to Raw, goes on to say that he's enjoying the match, but he didn't expect it, which I half agree with him. I didn't expect it either, but I didn't enjoy it. Here's the reason why I didn't enjoy it. WWE, I don't know what the hell they were going for here. They wanted to show that Big Show and Kane could wrestle. They wanted to maybe mix it up a little bit and confuse people. All it really did was take a match that some people probably would have been into and made them chant boring at it. They chanted boring at Big Show and Kane. It also did not fit the specifics of their feud. Their feud involved Big Show trying to pull... Kane trying to pull Big Show's eye out. I don't know what Big Show tried to pull on Kane, but I'm going to talk about that now. Kane tried to pull Big Show's eye out of his head. And the two of them finally meet up in the ring. And they decide to have a catch-as-catch-can 1905-style wrestling match. Right down, man. The Big Red Machine, Frank Gotch, against, you know, the Big Nasty Bastard, George Hackenschmidt, just locking it up right there in the ring. And arm bars, and what the hell's going on. I don't get it. I don't know the reasoning behind it. I guess they were trying to mix it up a little bit. But really, it didn't help. It didn't help the match. And it was insane. It was really, it's just like shooting yourself in the foot. It's as if WWE turned around and they were like, you know, we're going to book, let's book a match between, you know, I don't know, Big Van Vader. And we'll go back a few years, pretend like it's 93 or whatever. Big Van Vader and, you know, Andre the Giant or whatnot. And you build this match between these two giants and then you make it a ladder match. It's like, what the hell's the point of that? It was as if WWE had this match in front of them. It could have been interesting. They've done a lot of build-up for it and then they ruined it. On purpose. So, yeah. So that's this week's Moment of Insanity, is the on-purpose ruining of Big Show and Kane, all for who knows what. What reason it was, what the point was, and why they decided to do it. It looks like it was done just so they can kind of confuse people, which is always a good thing to do when you're running a promotion. Keeble, one of our readers on the Insanity message board, who's got this awesome avatar of Perry Saturn and his mop. You guys might remember the mop. That's the inanimate object WWE scripted Perry to want to have sex with instead of Terry Runnels, because, you know, that makes a lot of sense, too. Keeble says, might not go to the Big Show and Kane, having a real wrestling match complete with chain wrestling and real wrestling moves. Although I may never forget it, I'm not sure I need to see Big Show rolling out of an arm wrench again anytime soon. Creative, fun, and entertaining. But definitely insane. So Keeble liked it. He enjoyed it. But then Dark Lord jumped in. He's actually got Rowan Atkinson as his avatar. A good Rowan Atkinson fan as I am as well. Especially considering that they are supposed to hate each other and want to tear each other apart. Roly eyes. And then he asks, can this feud get any stupider? Oh, don't ask questions like that, Dark Lord. Because as MC Title Belt jumped right in right afterwards, he said, it can. And rest assured it will. And then MC then says, considering there is nothing to top it, I'm going to go with the melee of the Mountainous Masters of Matt Mechanics as the Moment of Insanity as well. Being that I cannot recall the last big man match where I saw chain wrestling. It was incredibly out of place when we are to believe that there is supposed to be serious hate between these two. Exactly, man. Totally. Maverick MJ, I'll just give this one. He's got Yeah, he's got Mickey James kissing Trish as his avatar. God bless you, Mike Johns. Maverick MJ says, I got to agree on the whole Kane-Big Show match. I think there was supposed to be one of those FUs to the internet that WWE and some wrestlers like to do every now and then, as if to say all the guys who rip on them that, yes, they actually can wrestle in style. The problem is that no one wants to see guys that size wrestle that way. Not last night, not ever. Not even the bitches who wanted up big men constantly want to see the style they claim every wrestler in the history of the universe ought to wrestle, even if it leads to bland shows with wrestlers who look and work exactly alike, with no character, no emotion, and no diversity whatsoever. There is a reason why Big Show works the way he does, because if he tries to mat wrestle, he looks effing stupid, like he did last night. Forget the context of the feud for a second and just look at the match itself. The match was bad. It was two men working a style of match they had no business working, which literally killed the crowd until Kane finally went for that chair. Now, throw in the context of their feud and it just makes the match worse. This was dumb on so many levels. God bless you, man. Totally to all you guys. I agree. This was definitely a situation where it just didn't seem to make any sense. It kind of came out of nowhere, and it makes you wonder, what is the point of booking that? Now, as Mike brought up, at the tail end of the match, Kane did freak out and get a chair, sort of to beat the Big Show in the head with it. And I think that was kind of like to remind people, oh, look, Kane is crazy, and Kane, you know, messes people up with chairs. You know, he beat the hell out of them. But still, I mean, it was just dumb. I mean, the whole thing is dumb. And if you watch it, if you get a chance, if you missed Raw, because you're lucky to go back, give it a check. You don't want to miss this. It was just, you just stare at it. You say, who the hell? You know, I mean, if ever there was a time for who booked this crap, it's now. Speaking of which, if you go to Shop Insanity, we have the I Booked This Crap t-shirt, so you can take credit for it. So there you have it, guys. That's this week's Moment of Insanity. The Big Red Machine and the Big Show doing a big stinker of a match right there on Raw. Remember, guys, voting starts now for next week's Moment of Insanity, so go nuts, go buck, and vote away. Yeah, and we'll compile it. Go to the message board, place your vote. If you're not on the message board, which a lot of you guys aren't, you can always send me an email and get a lot of those too, insanity@worldwrestlinginsanity.com. So drop that in your email box, send it on over to me, and if your vote wins and you put a rant in there, chances are you might be read on the air right here, so definitely do that. Now, guys, it is time to go to part two, and it is time to be greeted by Marcus Alexander Buff Bagwell to talk about so many things. You guys do not want to miss this interview. Trust me, Buff Bagwell, the kind of guy we should have had him on in week one, definitely holds nothing back. So he will be here in part two. Go find it. Do me a favor. Don't get lost. We'll see you on part two. Take care.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.